All right, this is JT, and you are listening, so that means you're keeping up. And I have back for a second session, Trevor Smith. We kicked your dad out of this one.
Yep,
this is all about you now. So, the last time we spoke was here, Maryland, beginning of the year, and things were just getting kicked off for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, geez, where do we want to go on first? Okay, let's bring everybody up to speed. Which classes have you been running this year?
This year I've been Real Street, which is kind of like Pro Street, just a little bit slower. I've been in Super Stock, which is pretty much a stock motorcycle with basic bolt-on supplies. It's a lowered exhaust, tune, just small things like that. I've been running that. And then the sportsman classes like Pro ET and Top Sportsman, which is the quick 32 out of Pro ET. And then at NH2RO, I've been running Super Comp and Street ET and Top Gas.
Okay. All right. Now, what bikes are you using?
I'm using HTP's Gixxer 1000 all motor for Real Street. I have my bike for Pro ET and all the NH2RO stuff. And then for Super Stock, Joey Gladstone let me borrow his Gixxer 1000 as well.
All right. Now, let's recap for everybody. So, this is your first professional year racing. Okay. How old are you?
I am 16 years old.
16 years old. And he does have a license.
I do have a license.
And it is perfectly legal for the race.
Mm-hmm.
So, y'all people can shut up for those trolls roaming around there. And I'm going to, the only reason I bring up trolls is I'm going to bring up something that hopefully we can, those coming into this, because at a young age, I'm an old fart, you know, like all the gray beards, so I'm looking at this guy clean shaven, no gray hairs. You will get there at some point. So I'll touch on that in a minute. Out of the classes, what's been the most challenging thing you've had to deal with this year?
I'm going to say Real Street. So for me, going from my best pass ever was an 815 on my bike, and then going straight to that and running 760s consistently, it was a big change. It was awesome, but at first couple passes, it was really nerve-wracking. But now it's like anything else. It's kind of like, well, sweet, let's go make a pass on the Real Street bike. Before I was like, oh man, I gotta go take a pass on the Real Street bike. But no, it's I love the bike. It's super light compared to my bike. I mean, it has everything you can do to it. I think it weighs like 360 pounds, which is extremely light for a motorcycle. Mine's like 460 and that's stock, so it has a lot of carbon fiber and all that stuff. But yeah, and super stock as well. They're from, like, it's not consistent at all, because it's probably the hardest class here as of rider's challenges, as in you gotta shift perfectly, you have to leave perfectly. It's really hard, but no, it's, yeah.
Well, I was talking to one of your fellow racers yesterday, and they were over in the spur lock.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that is the challenge to super stock, because it requires you to know what the hell you're doing.
For sure.
They said, but the consistently, for lack of a better description, to consistently know what the hell you're doing, he goes, that's the challenge.
Right, yeah. No, I love the class. It's just probably one of the challenging ones out there. But it's perfect for beginners as well, because it's not, I don't want to say slow, but it's not fast enough where it scares you. And it's just so much rider input. And like, you have to know. I mean, it's a good class to get into. Okay.
Yeah. Now, me and Mr. Towner were just talking a few minutes ago before you come up here to do this with me. And from my standpoint, I mean, obviously, I look at y'all differently through a lens. So I can see a big, big change from you from the first race until now. And this is just 1 year.
Yeah.
And can you emphasize the importance of seat time? To your progress.
Seat time, I'm telling you what, is the most important thing when it comes to racing. I think this is my 14th event of the year, and from going from my first race to now, it's the seat time. It really is the most important thing, because you just learn so much. You make a perfect pass, you think, you come back, you look at the video, you're like, man, I could have done that so much better. And so you get the next pass, and you just keep on improving from this, you know, the point. And I've spent many, many hours on each motorcycle. That's why, the greatest out there, they've had the most seat time, like Jeremy Teasley or Ricky Gatson or Richard Gatson or heck, Ryan Schnitz. You know, it's all about seat time. But, yeah.
Alright, so what was the last time you talked to your grandpa?
Last time I talked to grandpa was yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure he's asking how you doing.
Oh, he's asking. Yep, he's always on dragbike.com watching the live.
And of course, we got some images up. Now, the other thing that it's... Obviously, this year's been a learning experience for you. So, and again, this is an old guy talking to a young guy. So it's going to sound like a dad thing at the moment. But bear with me. Hear me through. Alright. So in this sport... And it's so integrated in the world of social media, so that you have the trolls and the stupidity.
Right.
And we're not going to touch on the drama and the story of what happened in that particular race here a while back. Somebody coming into it, obviously you're being young. How are you? You've got to develop thick skin.
Right.
Especially with the social media integration into this. What's your advice to others, and especially young people? Because I got thick skin. You can call me all kinds of crap. But I saw some of the interactions where clearly somebody got under your skin and you let them have it.
Yeah.
But the downside to social media is it's never ending because they're sitting behind a keyboard sitting at home and they never show up.
Right.
So they don't know what the hell's going on.
No, after the whole thing, it really bothered me, and I kind of was always on my phone, and I'm like, and Dad's like, dude, it's they're going to be jealous or upset. You're 16 years old kicking their butt. Yeah. And you're like, and he's like, you know, just keep your phone down for a couple of days. I'm like, you know what, you're right. And so my biggest advice is, if anybody's doing that, just simply don't believe them. It's not the truth. They're just jealous. And so you just kind of just log out of Facebook or Instagram or whatever it was, and let them have their own, do whatever they want, and then just ignore it. That's all you can do. But yeah, it's just jealousy when people start getting upset or angry because you beat them.
Well, my biggest thing is that, again, I'm not a reporter, so I can play favorites.
Right.
So now, if y'all don't like the fact that this is one of my favorites, y'all are going to have to deal with it. It's my channel. Go make your own channel. And again, even me, I don't really, once when I'm not doing this, I'm really only focused on who I'm working with, such as Snitz or Destiny or whatever be the case. And every now and then I caught part of that. And even for me at 53 years old, it grated under my nerves because I saw some of the comments, and I just wanted to comment because there was some comments made about what you were doing, and it simply wasn't true.
Right.
I wanted to comment, but then we have to realize that those people exist.
Mm-hmm.
Me and George Rice were just talking about it, so you can imagine after his career, the haters he has.
I mean, for the first couple of days after, I was so upset. I was just throwing my feelings out there on Facebook, saying everybody was wrong and all this. And then, you know what, a couple days later, I'm like, this is stupid, and they're just jealous. So I just went ahead and deleted all my comments and left it alone, and came back the next month and just destroyed them again. It's the same thing, you know? And they started trying to start it again, but you just let it go. They're just jealous. They're upset. It's whatever, you know.
And the only reason I bring it up is to, at your young age, you have to develop that thick skin, and it's nice because of who you come from. You got Ron. They've been in this business a long time. They've learned the thick skin.
Right.
This is me talking a little bit too. There's a lot of, and it's a small majority of people. Social media has 771 million users averaging every day. So people have, whatever you're into, whatever people hate you for, you got to keep in mind it's a small window of people.
It's the four people out of the...
Yeah, they're trolls, for lack of a better term.
Right.
But us, my generation, what they're quick to criticize your generation, the younger generation, when y'all guys are out here busting your ass. They say, well, when I was racing, I did this. I was like, when you were racing, you didn't have social media hounding on your butt. So the importance of that thick skin is you got to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when was it? That particular scenario that really hardened your skin.
It was the fact that I beat him, I think. And then what really made me upset is I beat him square. I beat him fair. I did everything perfect that pass. It was my quickest pass I've ever been on the bike.
Okay.
And then passed tech, but then he just, but I don't want to get into that. But
yeah.
They did the same thing with Dad back in the 600 Super Sport days. They would, he's cheating, he's going too fast. But they tore the bike down every race after. There was nothing. It was just he was good. But it's kind of the same thing there.
So the takeaway from this is that it's in the world that we're in now with social media being integrated. It's not going anywhere. Y'all people can complain about social media all you want. Develop the thick skin. If you're going to race at Trevor's level and you're going to race this many classes, especially when you have the history behind you, it's you have those people that come that come with it. You have to just get over it and move on.
Yep. So. And what hurt me was I thought they were friends, some people that were saying stuff. Okay. But you just let it go. It's, they're, you know, just... it's not true, whatever they're saying. It's, you know, the truth, but, yeah.
It's interesting, though, how it just, it takes that moment, as crappy as it is, look what you learn from it.
Right, yeah.
So
definitely made me thick skin. Just simply, if it's happening to anybody, just put your phone down. That's all I can say. Just let it go. Yeah. It's, yeah.
Because to me, you're a passionate guy, so I'm sure your dad's told you it over and over again. Okay, they're going to do this. This is going to happen. But in certain cases like that, something's just got to happen.
Right.
Now, the same thing now let's jump to racing.
Mm-hmm.
So, what mistake or screw up? So that really sticks in your mind this year, I really learned something from that. It could be any one of the classes. What did you take away from one of your mistakes this year?
Probably just you have to get in the moment before you make it pass. You have to put your visor down and you have to give it a couple minutes. Like when I first started out, I'd hurry up and then go to the lanes. I wouldn't put my helmet on or I wouldn't focus and messed up the pass because I wasn't ready for it. And Dad really taught because he would sit in the lanes for hours with his helmet on and just think about how the pass is going to go. And he told me that's the most important thing you can do before a pass, or just to get ready, is put your helmet down and think about how the pass is going to go. I mean, every millisecond you got to be ready for it. And I wouldn't do that and it messed up the pass. So I learned right beginning of the season after he told me everything about you have to put your helmet on and stuff before you make pass. So I did that, and then I think it improved me as a rider from where I was before, because I would actually focus and, carry on.
And the noise in the background is where it's a Saturday and they're racing out here.
Yep.
So we get to enjoy the view at the same time.
Oh, there's Dad right now.
Yep. We're watching Ryan, so we'll give you an update on who's he up against? Burkhead? Looks like it.
I'm gonna say 779 at 186. That's gonna be my guess.
So Ryan's in the left lane, we got Burkhead in the right lane. Snitch Racing. Let's give him a plug while we're here.
Ryan Snitch Racing.
Trevor Snitch Baird Racing, baby. We'll get some shameless plugs in along the way. Oh man, heat out there. 109. Another reaction.
770 at 185.
So, good thing about these. So we get a good view of everything too. So, now with the for going into next year, are you going to be running the same classes? What's your game plan for next year?
I think Cecil does want to run Real Street again. It just depends how the class moves on.
Okay.
They don't have much entries right now. It's usually 10 or 11 per bike or per race. But I'm going to hopefully stick to that. I love that class. Super Stock, I don't know if we're going to switch the bike or maybe run it again next year. I don't know. And my bike going to keep the same. I love how it is right now. It's run Pro AT and it's consistent. So I don't want to change anything that's consistent,
Okay. What are you doing when you're not racing?
I'm probably either talking to my girlfriend or focusing on racing somehow. I get back from school I have what they call ICE, which is I leave school on every other day. I can leave at 12 o'clock and go work. And on the other days, I get back at 3. So I'm at the shop usually after 12 o'clock and just working and helping out as much as I can, whether that's building harnesses or sweeping or anything. Just getting ready.
So you're going to carry on the Snitch Racing
for
legacy.
Sure. Yep.
You are heading in that direction.
That's what I want to do.
No doubt about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. But now, as far as your points and position and so forth, how are you doing so far this year?
I think I'm 7th or 8th maybe in Real Street. I missed the first two events. The bike, I can't remember why I missed the first. Dad, he rode the bike the first event just to get all the bugs out and make sure it was safe before I rode it. And then the next event, we couldn't make it. We had some family stuff, and so Joey rode it, and he did really good. He actually won that weekend, which kind of made me jealous, but it was awesome. I was happy for him. And then, I think I'm, 7th or 8th. And for Superstock, I think I'm 6th or 7th. I missed the one event last year, but I was still getting new to the bike and wasn't doing as well as I probably could have been. But then halfway through the season, I got better and better. Now, I won't say top of it, but I'm probably top 10 finishes usually per race. David Fondon, he definitely has it. He's really good.
He's amazing.
He's crazy.
So yeah. I think he's only lost the one.
Yep.
It was Jeremy, I think, that beat him. So.
And then for Indy Enduro, I came in 3rd or 4th, I think, for Super Comp Series.
So, and it's his first year.
Yep, it's my first full year. I started in October last year.
and you're doing outstanding. So
I appreciate it. So, all
right. Future plans outside the bikes you're currently on. What would you like the ride that's out there?
Pro Stock Motorcycle. I would love to ride out there again in the most professional, you could say, field out there. I think that'd be awesome. I'd love to win a couple championships in that. Pro Street, I'd love to do that just because it's Pro Street. You know, who would want to do that? And then, yeah, just win as much championships as I can in each class. It'd be awesome to be the first rider to win every single class one time, you know.
Yeah, that's a good goal.
Yeah, that would be really hard, but it'd be awesome at the same time, so.
Now, we talked when you and your dad was on earlier in the year, and I asked the question then, so I'm going to ask it there. Obviously, you've got his guidance, so you've got that father influence on there. And then I ask you, is there something that he does that you're like, well, that ain't exactly me? Now we're a year in. Okay. Is there something else that you found that it was some guidance he gave you? It wasn't bad advice, but it just didn't work for you. Something that you've kind of done for yourself that helps you.
I couldn't say anything besides maybe when he leaves, he has his feet back a little bit more than me, and he tried, or no, actually in front of me, or in front of where I usually do, just because it kind of is comfortable for him, and it works great, obviously, for him. But for me, I just, you know what, I don't like this, so I kind of keep my feet a little bit more back, but that's the only thing. I've copied him and everything he possibly could do.
And like I said, I mean, he's got some racing to do, so I'm going to let him get back at it.
Well, I appreciate the interview.
You're doing fantastic, sir, and there's championships coming your way. I know it's coming, man.
Thank you.
All right. Trevor Snitz, Snitz Racing, Ryan Snitz Racing, and his own page,
yep.
Trevor Snitz Racing. So I'll put the links on here. You can go to Drag Bike. You can go to jtnorton.com. We'll go to Snitz Racing. Make sure they're there and support this young man, because he is going to send his father home over and over again when they start pairing up.
That's right. So,
and he's going to enjoy every minute of it because he's got this huge grin on his face that y'all can't see. And Ryan knows it's coming because me and Ryan's already had this conversation too. So thank you for your time today, sir.